Proverbs chapter 26. I was jesting earlier about Pastor and Dolly on a cruise. I know many of you in here have been on a cruise, and it is a blessing to be on one of those things. And a few years ago, the girls went with us on our second cruise with them. And we flew out of here, went to Chicago, and then went down to Miami. And got to Miami because of an incident that happened in Chicago. We were a little late leaving Chicago, and we were rushed off the plane so we could get to our ship. And they had lost an important piece of luggage of ours. And as we're traveling to the ship, still without this piece of luggage, promised we would have it soon, and thinking through what's in it, and the girls and our dress clothes, a couple nights of the week, they have real fancy dinners, and so those clothes weren't in there. I think, oh, that's too bad. We won't have those. It'd be nice for pictures. All of my clothes were in there, including everything a person needs that they'd even wear under their clothes. And so every night on that cruise, I was washing my underclothes. And so that is a memory. And got our luggage a week after we got home. And of course, with a note of apology, but didn't do much good. But those are great. It wasn't fun at the time. But as we look back, it was a good memory. And, you know, we get stressed, don't we, about so many things that are so unimportant. And tonight, as we get into Proverbs, there is an underlying thought. If you think back to the last lesson of Jonah, Jonah had an inordinate affection, didn't he, for that gourd? And he got so upset when it faded away. And I think sometimes in our lives, we get upset about things that really aren't important. And the big picture is what's important. And that really is kind of an underlying thought to the subject matter tonight. Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to start verse 17. We're going to read through verse 21. And then I want to make some comments about those verses of Scripture, about this really one simple thought in our lives. And sad to say, it becomes forefront in many lives. And that is this area of strife. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. I'll read through verse 21. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor, and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, and so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Verse 20 and verse 21 are pretty clear, pretty self-explanatory about this idea of strife. Verse 20, it says, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So where there is no, in our simple terms, sharing information, spreading gossip, spreading rumor. So where that is void, where that is not there, there's no strife. So it's easy for us to think, okay, the talebearer stirs up strife. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So here we can easily say, well, contentious man can kindle strife. A few months ago, I was reading my devotions, came across this proverb, read through it, and started asking myself some questions, which we're going to ask ourselves those tonight. When we first started, the verse that kind of got me, I was a little confused with, is verse 17. I want you to look at that, and we want to make sense of that verse, and then that'll help us tonight as we understand this area, the subject of strife. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him. Really, two thoughts that can be in this, and then it goes on to say, to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Two thoughts. One is that a dog, a ravenous dog, or a dog out wild on his own, as he comes across some strife or some contention or maybe some other dogs, he'll nose into their business because He is wandering himself. He has no purpose or no pattern in his life. And so he easily jumps in and gets involved. The other thought, as we get into this verse, if you look down the bottom, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. The other thought is, you get a dog to hold by the ears and he starts to attack you. If you let him go, he will attack. If you don't let him go, you have a struggle on your hands. So the thought there also is, boy, you get yourself in the middle of a strifeful situation, you're in no man's land. How do you handle that? What do you do? Our nation has an infatuation with strife. One of the top-rated Monday night programs this last year, 2009, was a show that took the separation of a man named John and a man named Kate, John and Kate plus eight. Never watched the program, but it became a fascination, their life. Well, 10.3 million people watched the episode of their breakup. Why? Because people want strife. We live with it. Only to be outdone on Monday Night Football was the night Brett Favre, as a Minnesota Viking, went back to Green Bay. And not just because they wanted to see a great Monday Night Football performance, people wanted to see the reaction of a man coming back where there was much strife. And so we see all around us that this idea and this attitude of strife is everywhere. So I ask myself some questions. First of all, I want to define, what is this word strife? Simply defined with actually four words tonight, and hope to be a help to you and obviously a help to myself tonight. What are we going to do with this attitude? Really, strife is a lack of agreement or harmony. And then there's some words that are used to define it. I want to use those four words. First one is contention, a quarrel, a rivalry. We have in different venues, you can look at your home, church, government, the world. Strife seems to be at the forefront. And tonight it does not have to be there at all. There's quarrel, there's rivalry. The Bible uses the word wrangling. By the way, the church at Corinth, this is the word that described the fightings and the bickering that took place in the church of Corinth. It is a sharpening of the feelings or action. You've heard us, people say we can cut the tension with a knife. That is the description here of strife. Contention. We also see the word, interestingly enough, we see in Genesis chapter 3:15, the same word for strife. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. So it means enmity, which actually simply means enemy. So strife means also that it is an enmity or an enemy. It is the opposite of agape love. So no wonder that in Genesis 3:15, where the devil was at the root of the deception of Adam and Eve, no wonder at that root was the furthest thing away from love. The furthest thing away from God's love is the devil and his hate and his strife that he wants to build up. He wants to keep you at enmity with your spouse. He wants you at enmity, teens, with your parents, children, with your parents. All of us with any type of authority. And then we see another word used to define this word strife is faction, a self-seeking rivalry. Not from strife, but from another type of strife, a hireling. Pastor often has used the word hireling. A hireling seeking to win followers, creating his own faction. Different factions. We see this different times mentioned in the New Testament church. People, Diotrephes, wanting to have what? The preeminence. He was creating strife. He was creating a faction there. And then we see the final word that's used to define this word strife is simply dispute. The Bible tells us that we are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. There is a vigorous or a bitter conflict. Let all bitterness and wrath, it says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Be put away from you with all malice. So I ask myself a question. Number one, where then does strife originate from? Where does it come from? Real quick, let's go back to our illustration of the dog. A few weeks ago, I was out walking, And on one side of the street was a man minding his own business, walking his little dog. It was a medium-sized dog, nothing too big, nothing too small. On the other side, approaching him, the other side of the street, opposite sidewalk, was a man coming down the street, had two pit bulls. And I'm observing this, staying a good distance away. And as man A is walking his dog, man B gets closer, and you can see man B with the two dogs that look like they were ready to pounce. They look like they were wanting some strife, not minding their own business. And I saw the owner of those two dogs tighten up and pull back. And at one point, those dogs just started scratching and clawing to get at that other dog. He literally was holding them up with all his, and this man was built, and he was holding those dogs, and they are going like this in the air, pawing, trying to get going. They could not, here's the illustration that came to my mind as I was preparing for this. They could not get at that dog who was minding his own business, but they were so wanting some struggle, some strife. Instantly, this scared me, literally scared me, and I started walking really, really fast the other direction. Because they were so wanting strife, you know what they did? They turned on each other. And they started attacking. And sad to say, that is a picture so many times in our homes, as a picture so many times, sad to say, in churches today. We desire, there's something inside a man that brings strife. And there's no need for it at all. Number one, where does this strife originate from? Well, most of us know the answer tonight, from Satan himself. There are three combative or striving words that I want to point out tonight that Satan has. Number one, the Bible says that he is our adversary. Our enemy, he is our accuser before God. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, what does he do? Walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Think of that word, devour. See, he is our enemy. He is our adversary. We wrestle not, again, a word that has to do with combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And I will put again that word enmity. He is our adversary. Not only is our adversary, he is our accuser. He mocks everything holy. His word diabolos means opposition, oppression, and opposition against God. There hath no temptation taken you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Even in the midst of the devil being the accuser and being our enemy, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape. God has made a way for every one of us to escape the power of the devil and the strength of the devil tonight. He did that generally through salvation through Jesus Christ. All of us can come to repentance through Jesus Christ. And he does that through the things that we struggle with every day in our lives, through the difficulties, through the disappointments, through the sin that comes into every one of our lives. We see in the story of Job, in Job chapter 1, how Satan went to accuse Job before God. So not only is he our accuser, he is also our tempter. He challenges God. He's our adversary. He's our tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread. Even Jesus Christ himself, he tempted. He challenged. You know what, in strife, do you ever find yourself challenging authority? Challenging God? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? All that comes because the devil gets a place in our heart and our life. The Bible says we ought to give no place to the devil. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So we answer the question, where does it come from? Obviously tonight, it comes from the power of the devil. Strife comes from the devil. Number two, who is associated with strife? If you're taking notes tonight, you want to jot these things down, maybe later for your own personal study. I found this very, very interesting. Who is associated? It's Pastor Dan, I'm not a strifeful person. I don't have strife in my life. I'm not a creator of it, nor a lover of it. In fact, get down to the bottom of it, most of us aren't. Some people would rather go out of the way and not confront. By the way, there are some things worth confronting. And there are some things worth walking away from. Here's the thing tonight. We need to be being striveful or striving against the devil. There are certain things we can strive against. But when it comes to other Christians, when it comes to our family, there needs to be that love. Number two, who is associated with the strife? Well, it says in Proverbs 15:18, it says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." What do you do when some anger comes your way? How do you handle it? Are you slow to anger? So who is associated with strife? The first thought tonight, the wrathful person, means a person that has hot anger. If you're a person tonight that easily gets angry, you're related to a person that has a strifeful spirit. "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the whining of the mouth bringeth forth blood. And so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." Then the Bible says in Proverbs, a verse we most of us know, "A soft answer turns away wrath." You know, also turn away strife, a soft answer. You know why we don't always give soft answers? Because we've got a point to prove. Our pride comes in and we want to be firm. We want people to show where we stand. We become wrathful many times in that. Also, another word associated, another person that's associated with strife is a foolish person. That's a person without reason. Proverbs 16:28 says this, "A froward man soweth or sendeth forth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." A foolish person. We also see a scorner. Scorner is one that mocks anything holy and righteous. He shows disdain or a sense of superiority or even resentment. A scorner, Proverbs 22, "Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease." Often, we'll tell teens, younger children, your associations are vital. Your associations are important. Who you talk with, who you spend your time with. By the way, who you spend your time with is where you get your philosophy from. Is where you understand it and learn things from. Not only for children and teens tonight, but for we as adults, our associations are vital and important. If the media is a major association of yours, you need to be careful. Because within that, the strife can wax hot and the scorning. Before long, you are away from God and you are saying hurtful things toward those that want to live soberly and righteously before God. So there's no place for the scorner. He is also associated with a strifeful person. Also, another person that's associated, Proverbs 26:20, "Where no wood is," a verse we read earlier, "there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer or whisperer, the strife ceaseth. I have trouble with that word. A talebearer, slanderous talk or gossip. A talebearer is associated with a striving person. Always wanting to share the story or the scoop or get one up on somebody else. And you know, again, that is all from the root of pride. You know, if you have some important information and you wish to share it, why are you sharing it? What is the purpose of that? Does it really, does it validate anything other than you're just maybe a little nosy? See, what is the purpose? And our pride so many times comes to the forefront. And with that tail bearing, how many times are we hurting somebody? Hurting somebody's spirit, maybe hurting somebody's reputation, maybe without all the facts. I know this is very practical and simple tonight, but you know what? We live in a practical and simple world. And it's easy for us to become strifeful, maybe not meaningfully. Another word associated, word we've mentioned a couple times already tonight, the proud. Proverbs 28:25. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Another, and I'll quickly go through these, another one that comes up with striving is contention itself. Opposition or strain on relationships. "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife," to keep it going, to keep the coals hot and burning, keeping it going. Do you know of somebody that always likes to keep the strife going, keep the fight going? You know, sometimes we do that because we don't want a situation to fall back on us, so we'll put the emphasis on somebody else. And that happens. The contentious person. It says in Proverbs 29, the angry person, which means malicious or vindictive feelings. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. I put down with this, misery loves company. Haven't you seen that? Somebody's going down and they want to take somebody down with them. Misery loves company. The carnal person, 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So there's the carnal. And then for 2 Timothy 3:3, there's a whole list. False accusers, despisers of good, incontinent, that means those that want power, fierce, truce breakers. It's amazing how the world looks up and desires power. Let's say you had the power. What would you do with it? So many of us, man, if I ran this country, we don't. What would we do if we did? See, what would we do with the power? What would we do with the position? What would we do with a name or some fame? You know what? I think God puts us in the position He wants us because He knows we can do the best job with where He has us. And so many times we want to be in somebody else's position or we want to be critical of somebody else in their position. If God wanted us in those positions, He'd call us to those things. So we need to be patient and faithful where God has us. I'm so thankful tonight as the young people sang, I was thinking of Brother John as he's been leading music, filling in for Brother Randy. I thank God for people that are willing to be used where they're at. We don't have to be somebody we're not. We just need to find our place that God wants us. There are so many things that get done in our ministry and our church that people don't know about, and it's okay. We don't all have to be recognized and noticed. God is not concerned with our title. He's concerned with our heart of willingness. And that ought to be a challenge to each and every one of us tonight. Another question I asked, what are some common results of strife? So here's who's associated with strife, and it's not the prettiest list, is it? That's association. We've defined it. Well, now, what are some common results of strife? Well, one of the common results is division. Strife leads to division. Remember the illustration, Genesis chapter 13, verse 7? And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And what had to happen? There had to be a what? A separation. They had to separate. Of course, we know the story. What happened? Pitching their tents for Sodom as Lot did. But there is a division. 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? There ought to be no divisions in the house of God. We have enough struggle with Satan himself. We don't need to be divided. Our homes do not need to be divided. So this word division also, Numbers 20:13. This word bitterness. Numbers 20:13 with the story of the waters of Meribah or Marah. Remember Naomi? She said, call me Mara. Call me what? Bitter. Don't call me by my name. I don't want to be happy. I want to be bitter. I've said this before. We do not have the right to be bitter. But we do have the responsibility to forgive. And you may be in here tonight with a bitter spirit or bitter heart, or somebody may have hurt you, or somebody in 1979 at Eagledale said something that still bothers you. Hey, there's no need for that hurt or that bitterness. That needs to be given to God and only produce strife. It'll only produce a division and contention. There's no need for that bitterness. Strife will produce bitterness, as will bitterness produce strife. You know, sometimes we show our bitterness toward people. Sad to say, truth of the matter is we become bitter toward God in that. There's also the word confusion in James 3:16. For where the envying and the strife, there is confusion and every evil work. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. as in all the churches of the saints. Hey, God does not want there to be confusion. That's why we strive. We're not trying to be so formal, and you know our ministry, we're not formal, but we want things done decently and in order. Why? That honors God. Then another word associated is heavy burden. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? As Moses in Deuteronomy, he said everybody was coming in with his difficulties and problems. He finally said, I can't take it anymore. I need help from above. When we produce our own burdens caused by sin and strife, we cannot properly dispose of those burdens. It's one thing when we have difficulty, when strife arises, something that we have no control of. But when we can control it, that's where the sin comes in. Then I want to finish tonight with one last question. What combats this strife? If we have to, in some cases, we have to face some strife. Most cases, we bring it upon ourselves. So how can we combat this sin so many times of strife? Philippians chapter 2, familiar verses to all of us, verses 3 through 5, it says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But, here's the first one to combat strife, but in what? Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know how you and I combat strife? By having a proper view of who we really are. I know this is a simple way to say it, but too many of us are way too big for our britches. And spiritually, we get the same way. Well, I've been in the church for so many years. That doesn't make you holy. That doesn't make you righteous. Well, Pastor Dan, I was born in the nursery. You know, that's great. But that doesn't make you lowly of mind. See, lowliness of mind. Look not every man on his own things. Don't get your eyes off as, hey, they've got that. What? Hey, I've been here longer than them. I need that position. So-and-so, they get noticed. They get recognized. But lowliness of mind, let each esteem other, lift up others better than themselves. And what ties this all in is verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we are to have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, we'll have a lowly mind. And if we have a lowly mind, we will not be known by a strifeful person. There are people that you and I know that when they come, we say, oh, something's going on. Their ears are back and they're ready to spit somebody out and chew them up. Why? Because they are a life of strife. But then there are people that you see them coming and you want to go get in their way because you know they're going to ooze love and they're going to ooze goodness and they're going to have a sweet spirit. Wouldn't it be great if we'd all just be getting in each other's way every Sunday because we're all oozing that? And I'm not trying to be sappy. That's not my point tonight. The point is, there ought to be a lot more loving than avoiding. And we ought to have a sweet spirit, every one of us. Lowly mind. From the top to the bottom, so to speak. So what combats strife? Number one, lowly mind. Number two, honesty. Truth with yourself for who and what you really are. The more I'm into God's Word, I told my teens this morning, the more I get into the Word of God, the more I realize how deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the more the mirror of the Word of God shines on my life, I realize, man, I have got to have a relationship with God. I cannot live my life by my own and within my own strength. I cannot do it. Because we all are desperately wicked. By the grace of God. So honesty, truth, recognizing who you are. Let us walk, Romans 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness, not in clamoring and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We are to walk honestly, or we are to walk decently, is what it's saying. We are to be lowly in mind, we are to be honest. And then lastly, 1 Timothy 2, 3, and Pastor Brent really brought this home this morning. 1 Timothy 2, 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, or one who foments strife, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. We're talking to holy women here. but this can be an illustration for all of us, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we live soberly, righteously in this present world. See, we're to live holy. We're to live righteous. Not, as Pastor Brent said this morning, and he mentioned, not squares, but we're to walk after righteousness and holiness and godliness. If we do that, we're not going to be striving. If in your home you're in God's Word and you're striving to be holy and righteous and you're striving to put God first, there's not going to be the bickering and the fighting. It's not going to be there. So holiness, not striving. And then I end with this verse, Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As I was preparing for this, I read some illustrations in different countries. I've typed in the most peaceful countries, the world after peace. And some of the concluding comments, our country doesn't seem to be too peaceful, by the way, as I did this little study. But as I read through this, amazing, Denmark comes out as the most peaceful country. But to the world, a nation is peaceful if they have wealth. They don't seem like they'll have a lot of political problems, and everybody, and this is paraphrasing, everybody just feels good about themselves. You can feel good about yourself, but you may be making somebody else feel awful. You may feel good, but you may be striving with somebody else. That's the world's philosophy, saying, hey, as long as I'm taken care of, as long as I feel good, I'm okay. And that's not the attitude of holiness. That's not the attitude of a lowly mind and a lowly spirit. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Listen, in order for us to have a right relationship with God, we must have a right relationship with our fellow Christians. It is important. You can't tell me tonight that you're right with God when you have a bitter spirit toward another person. It cannot happen. So tonight, what is your relationship? Are you striving? Is your home full of strife? I trust not. Is our church, does our church have a striving spirit? I pray to God not. Just because somebody's in a good mood or just people feel good doesn't mean there's not contention and tension. Would to God we'd have a heart after God, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May that be our heart's desire tonight. Let's pray.